Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. You want to get in? We still got some time here. 251-343-0106. Text us and let us know what is on your mind. Joining us now, formerly in the Alabama State Senate, now a civilian, but has valuable insights for our listening audience, former State Senator Dick Brubaker. Senator, how are you doing?
Great. It is an absolutely beautiful day. The bats are biting. I mean, what could be better than that?
Well, you're right. Well, we know what could be better, but we know it could be a lot worse, and you could still be in the Alabama legislature right now.
Well, I got news for you. They need a few conservatives in that legislature because they clearly don't have any.
Yeah, and
I've never been so disappointed at Republicans in my life.
Well, so and let's kind of talk about where we are, and the Senate is operating surprisingly drama free. Everybody keeps waiting for that to end. I don't know, you know, if that happens and comes, but we'll see. However, it's the House, man. You had a leadership change. You have this internal turmoil, and then you have the Alabama Republican Party in the middle of it. And there's a little bit of, I don't know if I would quite call it a revolt yet, but it does seem like there's some vulnerabilities being exposed, at least.
Well, I'm going to tell you, anybody who is a small government conservative should be angry, up in arms, and you're right. The conservatives that are still in the legislature are not happy at all. They're not happy with the governor, and they're not happy with Ledbetter. And I'm telling you, the Senate, like that A&M bill they passed, essentially, you know, there is some industry that has paid the legislature to allow them to pollute. That's what that bill boils down to.
Yeah, because
they passed it without public hearing, without debate, because they didn't want anybody to know about it. And these are Republicans doing this.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They what they do, and this is out of the playbook, they take something that is, they go to the talking points of whatever that have been used for years and years and years on environmentalism and environmentalists, and, you know, they typically have, in Republican circles, have a bad reputation. But they took that, and they made this, like, the sound science bill or something like that. It's like Republican Orwellianism or something, the way they brand these things that, you're right, that have the, my perception, like kind of seeing through it, is just to benefit some industry within the state somehow.
Well, the money came from Meta, is what the legislators are telling me, is who was pushing that bill. And I got, listen, y'all, we have experience in Alabama with Alabamians being harmed by corporate interests that, you know, contaminate. So, I mean, look at Anniston and Monsanto. I mean, you know, people were harmed. And now A&M, the legislature has passed a bill saying that if some industrial activity is putting a carcinogen in the groundwater, they have to have a direct causal link before A&M can write a rule to protect the public. In legal and medical terms, there's not even a direct causal link between chain smoking filterless cigarettes and lung cancer. I mean, they have made an impossible standard for A&M to meet if it wants to protect the public. I mean, this is an awful bill. In the old days, Republicans would have been killing a bill like that. I mean, regular people don't have a chance with this governor or this legislature. And you know, I don't know whether the Blue Cross bill is a good bill or a bad bill. I don't know enough about how corporately all that works. But I do know that both houses of the legislature were doing their best to pass it in a giant hurry and make sure that there were no public hearings held.
Yeah, essentially, and this is the overarching theme, it seems like, this year. Oh, guys, you know, back in December, we're told it's going to be quiet session. We don't want to do anything. And they really coach up the electorate to think that the fourth year of this quadrennium is pass the budget to go home. And then the ADM bill gets through. But I think they wanted the same with the PSC and the appointments, but that people woke up to it. And you just have this internal drama, too. And it's like a consolidation of power or something like that. So.
Oh, yeah. But I think it's breaking up a little bit now. I mean, what happened is they marginalized every real conservative that wanted to protect families, working families, that voted against the gas tax. Ledbetter, the governor, the leadership in the Senate, marginalized anybody that had the nerve to vote against raising taxes on working families. And what's been going on since then is that bill after bill has been passed that may hurt working people, but it helps corporate Alabama. And I'm telling you, they've also got more money than Alabama's ever had, and they're spending every penny of it. They're not returning anything to the taxpayers. They're just spending it all. I mean, what happened to small government?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand these guys at all.
Well, they're not like woke liberals, but they are. It's this corporatism that is dominating Alabama politics. And does that change with Tommy Tuberville? I mean,
yes.
You think it does?
It will change. I absolutely think it does. And I know there are people that disagree with me on that, but I'm going to tell you, Senator Tuberville, Coach Tuberville. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I think he's great. He has proven that he will go against the power brokers in Washington. And he's done it on issues that corporate Republicans don't care about, like things like the pro-life issue. And I think Coach Tuberville will be a breath of fresh air in the governor's office because, number one, I think he'll actually run it, not just turn it over to the BCA. And the other thing is, I think if he was governor, I think he'd have probably vetoed that ADM bill or at least put an executive amendment on it and asked the legislature to at least take another look at it. I mean, when you've got a bill that could damage public health and you pass it with no public hearing and just it's like it was the most important thing the Senate and the House had to do was to get that bill out before anybody knew about it. And, you know, you expect Democrats to act that way, but not Republicans.
No.
I mean, it's just Looney Tunes right now. We need Coach Tuberville to come in and sort of rearrange the power structure in Montgomery.
Well, now how much are you keeping up with the palace intrigue at the state house, particularly in the House of Representatives, the leadership change, Scott Stadhagen, and then Stadhagen being elected as the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. I mean, you know, to a casual viewer, it's just Republicans fighting with Republicans or whatever, but like there's a real kind of interesting backstory here. And the fact that the party itself would elect a rogue potentially to the rogue inside the House chamber to run its party sends a message that there's a disconnect that can't be overlooked here.
Oh, I don't disagree. But Ledbetter had, by his punitive actions against members who were merely doing what they said they do when they ran for office, you know, not vote to raise taxes. His consistent punishing of the few real conservatives that are in that chamber, I think, generated a lot of dislike for the speaker. And let's face it, Ledbetter's political career has been made on the Democrat side of the aisle, not the Republican side.
Yeah.
And I think that finally began to catch up with
it. Well, and I'm privy to, I mean, people talk in these closed door meetings. It's not just leaked audio. But they know these are bills. This is legislation that, at face value, if the public took its time to look at it, they'd be like, "What the hell are you doing?" So he tells them this, like, "Hey," he's always asking the membership and the caucus to walk the plank for, you know, whatever they're trying to do. And you always hear this, that he's telling members of the Republican caucus, "Hey, people will not remember this when they go vote." And maybe he's right about that.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. But I'm telling you, if anybody's running against any of these incumbents, get them in front of your local Lions Club and ask them to explain their yes vote on that ADEM bill. Ask them why they didn't ask for a public hearing on a bill that will affect most people's health care in Alabama. I mean, they have the one guy that asked for a public hearing on the Blue Cross bill, the head of the Christian Coalition, he was verbally abused by the chairman of the House committee for asking for a public hearing. Steinbrenner told him that he was disrupting the proceedings of the House by asking for a public hearing on a major piece of legislation. I mean, that's their attitude. This supermajority thinks they should be able to do whatever they want, and if you question them, you're the bad guy.
Well, then,
it's unbelievable.
The unfortunate thing here, and I don't know where this is going to go beyond 2026. There's been a consolidation of power. I don't even know Paul Lee.
I know Paul Lee.
I mean, he's a loyalist to Nathaniel Ledbetter. He's not going to. They got their team in place now, and I don't know that Stat Aiken was much of an obstacle for them to overcome on a lot of things, but now they've consolidated power, and those guys they run everything.
Well, I'm going to tell you, the people better wake up, Republican voters, because this supermajority, if you're just a regular working guy that's trying to pay your bills, this legislature is not your friend. I mean, they just passed a bill to make it legal, essentially, for industrial activity to poison the water where you live. I mean, I'm telling you, that's how bad it is. And they are passing major bills and going to a lot of trouble to make sure that no constituent can have any input. This is bad. And I'm hopeful that the only thing that's going to break this up is somebody like Tommy Tuberville coming in and cleaning house.
Well, and here's the other problem with that. I find this, the more you see that, there's a connection with Speaker Ledbetter and Tommy Tuberville. I mean, Ledbetter was with Tommy Tuberville from the very, very beginning on his run for U.S. Senate. And, you don't seem to be concerned about it, but I look at it.
I'll tell you why. Can you see Tommy Tuberville making the hallmark of his first year a gas tax increase? Can you? I can't. That doesn't go with this populist image that he is pushing.
But I can see it being gambling. I can see him doing gambling.
We're talking about something different now. I mean, Republicans have always been soft on gambling.
But
there's always been a part of the party, but we've always been against raising taxes on working families.
It's not so much that, it's the tactics that they will use to get something done. Okay? I mean, we can debate the policy. But what they'll do is they'll come in, they'll do the special session within the session, they'll twist arms, they'll threaten, they'll do what they got to do to get something done. And I know you've said this before, Senator, that's just how the House operates. But like that is a recipe for bad government sometimes when they.
It is absolutely a recipe for bad government. I agree with that. But it only works if we elect people with no freaking courage. And what we've got up there now, I mean, guys like Chris Sell, who voted against the ADEM bill, one of six Republicans to vote no on that just horror of a piece of legislation. I mean, good job, Chris Sell. I mean, even if they beat you in the next election, at least you'll make an honorable exit from the House.
Yeah.
The rest of you obedient fools who voted for it, if you get to keep your office, great, but for what? I mean, who are you helping? Oh, right, we're helping Meta, a bunch of guys from out of town that want to pollute the water. I mean, this is just unbelievable, the choices these legislators are making. I mean, it's infuriating, and the voters should have enough. If you look at your legislators down there where you are, you need to ask them why they voted for that ADEM bill.
We had one vote against it, Jennifer Fiddler, my lawmaker. She voted against it, but you're right. I mean, out of 76.
One of six. Yeah, one of six.
Yeah, I mean,
Chris Pringle's a great guy, but I would love to hear his explanation for voting yes on that bill.
But they make them. This is what they do, though. They make them walk the plank, and they just say, "Hey, no one's going to remember this. Just go ahead and vote for it."
Well, this is a democracy, and I tell you, you may be right. If people are willing to forget everything that happens, and all these guys have to do to get reelected is say, "I'm for Donald Trump," and that's all it takes, we deserve the government we're getting now. And Alabama is being sold off to corporate interests. And you look at Meta, they're not going to employ that many people. It's not like they're going to employ, 10,000 Alabamians. What they are going to do is use a tremendous amount of electricity and drive up your power rates. And apparently, they want to make sure they're not going to get called on it if they create industrial hazards in the environment. But it's not like they're going to be a great contributor to employment or wages. So why are the legislators putting them ahead of us?
I mean, this has been a question going back for assisting in the Reconstruction, in the Civil War even. Why do the big mules and the industrialists, they dominate? They always, you may have a few years here and there where they don't, but typically they always come around. They got the money. They're the ones who kind of have the power and the peddle the influence.
Well, but, if one thing that has changed, one of the biggest mules is Alpha. And until about 2018, Alpha was generally on the side of small government and low taxes. And they did exercise sort of a balance between the BCA and, sort of the economic development at any cost crowd and regular people. And so they're at least one of the big mules on the side of small government, low taxes. Now, maybe Alpha is still doing that, but they certainly aren't nearly as loud about it as they used to be. I haven't talked to a single legislator who said, "Yeah, Alpha asked me to vote against the gas tax." I mean, right. They totally fold. So, I mean, that's why it's so out of balance right now. All the big mules are on the same side, big government and higher taxes.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but always appreciate you making time for us on the program. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Thanks for letting me be on the show, Jeff.
Thank you. Former State Senator Dick Brubaker. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.